Well, I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, and I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. God is indeed good to us. Amen? He is so good. Let's stand to our feet as we read God's Word together. Colossians chapter 4, and I'm beginning in verse 2 of the text. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, as Paul writes these words. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Today I want to talk to you about open doors for the gospel. Join with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this good day that you've given us. God, thank you for the way you are working and moving. And God, thank you for the way you provide for the needs of your people and your church. Lord God, we do intercede on behalf of our nation with so much darkness, so much despair, so much violence. Lord, we ask that you would use us to minister your peace, your grace, your mercy, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, that we might reach our community, our nation, and our world with the only message of hope and salvation. That's your message, Jesus. Now, God, I ask that you would move me out of the way, and Lord, that you would speak a word today. Lord, show us the opportunities that you put in front of us. Show us the open doors that you've established. And Lord, give us your grace to walk through them. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. In church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. Michelle and I got a call a couple of years ago from a friend of ours named Anna. And Anna said, Michelle and Stephen, I want you to go with me to an escape room. And we said, well, Anna, what's an escape room? She said, well, it's sort of a game, and you play it together as a group, but they lock you in a room, and in fact, you're locked in a series of rooms, and you have to solve clues and solve puzzles in order to make it out of each room. And I said, is that supposed to be fun? And she said, oh, yes, it's a lot of fun. And so she said, in fact, I've already paid for us to go. And I said, you have to pay to be locked in these rooms. She said, yes, that's right. And so we love Anna, and so Michelle and I went with Anna to an escape room. So we got there to this escape room. By the way, has anybody else besides me been to an escape room before? Some of you have. Okay, so we go to the escape room, and the one we were in was designed to look like a prison. And our goal was to eventually make our way to the warden's office, to bust out of his office, and to escape. But we had to get through different rooms, and we had to work together as a team. And so we started off in a very realistic looking jail cell, and we somehow got out of that room. We got past that iron door, and then we were in a room that looked like we were in a basement somewhere with all these pipes hanging down, and we solved the clues there. And then another door opened to us, and we slid down a chute that sort of looked like it was supposed to be an air duct of some type. And then we found our way into the warden's office, and there we were looking all around his office. We had 60 minutes, by the way, to get out of all these rooms. And so the clock's ticking, it's ticking down, and we're looking, we're trying to solve the clues. We had 5 seconds left, and somehow I found myself in possession of these wire cutters, and we opened up this little box, and we were supposed to cut the right wires to open up the electric door. Michelle's yelling at me, Anna's yelling at me, 2 seconds left. I cut the wire, and the door opens, and we're out. And then we get out of the escape room, we find out you can get a t-shirt that says, I escaped. I chose not to get the t-shirt. But anyway, as we were walking past, I saw this control panel. And there was a person watching, and on monitors, they could see every room. And there was a little green button, a little green control button for every door that said, open. Here's what I realized. When we were going through all that trouble, trying to solve all of those clues to get out, there was somebody who was in control, who had it within their power to open the doors anytime they wanted to open them. Now, here's what the Word of God says. Our God is in control of this entire universe. And He has the ability to open doors. To open up doors so that we can take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world who needs Him so desperately. And I pray that Quail Springs Baptist Church would be a church that is praying for open doors, looking for open doors, going through open doors, and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to people as we go through those open doors. There are people that you know, maybe there's people, someone whose name you could write down right now, and you're just praying for God to give you an open door to share the gospel with that person, for God to open that person's heart to hear the gospel of Jesus and be saved. It may be somebody in your family or somebody in your community or somebody that you work with or someone you go to school with, but somebody who needs Jesus. You ought to know somebody, by the way. There ought to be somebody right now that's on your heart that you're praying for and just asking for those open doors for Jesus to save that person. And then I'm praying for open doors across this city, that God would use us as His church to reach the Oklahoma City metro area. I mean the whole area with the gospel. God can use Quail Springs to reach this whole city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I'm praying for open doors even beyond that, that God would give us the nations and open doors into the whole world with the gospel. So I want us to think about what the Word of God says in this passage of Scripture about open doors. The first thing I want you to think with me about in this text is this: the meaning of the open door. The meaning of the open door. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3 of the text. Paul says, "Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the Word." He was praying for an open door for the Word. An open door to take the message of Jesus to those who have never heard. You know, in Paul's day, just as in our day, that phrase open door means an opportunity. It means the possibility to make something happen. And throughout his ministry, Paul saw God open up doors. Now, he's in prison as he writes this book. But he wasn't praying for the prison doors necessarily to open. In fact, Paul had seen that even as he was chained up and shackled and in prison, that God was opening doors all the time for him to share the gospel. God opened the doors for him to share Christ, even as he was in prison with governors such as Festus and Felix and provincial kings such as King Agrippa, and then the guards who were chained to him 24 hours a day, he shared the gospel with them. And then visitors who came to him, he shared the gospel with them. And we believe he went all the way to Emperor Nero in Rome, and God gave him open doors to share the gospel there. He was asking for open doors, opportunities to share Christ. That's what it means to have an open door. Now, God opens doors in many different ways. Sometimes He opens doors to whole groups of people. In fact, the Bible tells us that Paul rejoiced as he went out, that God opened a door of faith to the Gentiles for non-Jewish people to come to know Jesus as Savior. Sometimes God opens doors that are very, very individual and personal. As He came to the area around Philippi, God opened the door of Lydia's heart to hear the gospel and be saved. But an open door is simply an opportunity, and our Lord Jesus can open doors. This past week, when I was here for the funeral of Keith Sweezy, I had the opportunity to meet a man that some of you already know, a man by the name of Tim Knopfs. And Tim Knopfs was ordained here at Quail Springs Baptist Church. God has used him to share the gospel and to put together evangelistic events all over the country. He just shared something with me that I wanted to share with you. It's a great story about an open door. In 2005, the 39th Super Bowl game was held in Jacksonville, Florida. The halftime performer, the halftime musician for that show, was former Beatle Paul McCartney. Now, There was a huge evangelistic push that was going on in that city during the Super Bowl, just as there always is at the Super Bowl. Somebody's there trying to share the gospel. And Tim was saying to me, he said, we were there on Friday before the Super Bowl. He said, we were there and looking for ways to share the gospel, looking for inroads. And he said, we were there as Paul McCartney was doing his sound check. He was up there performing the songs that he was going to perform at the halftime show. And he looked down into the mosh pit. You know what the mosh pit is? That's the place near the stage, and people come there, and they sing along, and they're standing up. And Paul McCartney looks down in the mosh pit, and he's 62 years old at the time, by the way. And he looks down, and he says, there's nobody my age in the mosh pit. He said, everybody in the mosh pit is younger than I am. He was serious. He said, I want some older people in the mosh pit. Now, when he said that, what he didn't know that it was in saying that, he was opening a door for the gospel. Because here's what happened. Somebody heard that announcement and got on the telephone. Somebody with this evangelistic push got on the telephone and called the Jacksonville Baptist Association and said, can I please speak to the director of the Woman's Missionary Union for Jacksonville? And said, can you please send some WMU ladies to be part of Paul McCartney's mosh pit? And by the way, when they come, they'll have the opportunity to share the gospel with Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ with the people around them. Do you believe God opens doors like that? Absolutely. He uses unlikely sources to open doors. And for Paul, he was opening unlikely doors for the sake of the gospel. And I want to show you one verse of Scripture before I move on to my next passage of Scripture. Look in your Bible, or my next point. I want you to look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. There Paul talks about an open door. And I just want you to see, an open door doesn't always look like we think it might look. It doesn't always look like we think it might appear. Because when we think of open door opportunities, sometimes we think, well, an open door means it's going to be easy for me to share the gospel. No, an open door simply means you have an opportunity. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Paul says this, for a wide door of effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Opposition doesn't mean that the door is not open. Amen. Difficulty doesn't mean that the door is not open. In fact, Chuck Swindoll put it this way, God often provides incredible opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Amen. Sometimes it looks impossible, but God is opening a door. And so we see the meaning of an open door. It's simply an opportunity for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people around you. And I promise you, every day Jesus Christ is opening doors. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus says, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. Wherever you are, whatever your situation is, God is opening doors. We see the meaning of the open door. Secondly, I want you to think with me about the means of opening the door. How does the door get open? And the Word of God is so clear here. God opens doors. God gives us opportunities to share the gospel in response to prayer. Look in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4 once again. There Paul gives this command, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. To continue steadfastly in prayer. I want you to notice sort of a pattern that's here. There's three parts in the pattern. First of all, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer. That word, continue steadfastly, has the root word in the Greek language of being strong. In other words, Paul is saying, be strong in your prayers. Don't stop praying. Don't give up in your prayers. Just keep at it. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Then the second part of the pattern is being watchful in it. In other words, watch for what God is doing as you pray. Now, when we were children, we were taught to pray with our eyes closed, and that's great. But listen, we need to learn to pray with our eyes open. And I mean spiritually, just to look around and ask, God, what are you doing? What doors are you opening up? What opportunities are you giving me to share Christ with others? And so the Bible says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, looking for those opportunities. And then the third part of the pattern is, pray with thanksgiving. In other words, as I'm watching for what God is doing, and as I'm praying for Him to open those doors, I'm continually giving Him thanks for what He is doing around me and in me and through me to reach people with the gospel. So He says, pray that way, and then look as we continue in verse 2. He says, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word. Paul says, I want you to pray for us. And he was talking about himself, but listen, may I tell you something? Paul doesn't need you to pray for him anymore. You're not going to help Paul anymore by praying for him, because he's already with the Lord in heaven. I'm glad that he said for us, because let me give you the translation of that. When Paul says pray for us, he means pray for Paul and Stephen Rummage. Pray for us. Pray for those who have been given the calling of preaching and teaching and proclaiming His word. Pray for ministries all over the world that they would reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prayer is what opens the doors. I want to ask you this. Are you praying for me as your pastor? Say amen if you are. One of my friends used to tell his people, he says, the quality of my preaching will be in direct proportion to the quality of your praying. I had a friend who was an evangelist, and he was talking about praying for your pastor one time, and somebody came up to him and said, I'm not going to pray for my pastor. He said, I don't like my pastor. And my friend said, listen, pray that God will make him so good somebody else will come and get him. But pray for us, because prayer opens the door. And certainly, listen, when we pray for one another, when we pray for other ministries, it enables us to expand our reach for the kingdom even beyond ourselves. You can participate meaningfully in all kinds of ministries by praying continually, watchfully, with thanksgiving for those ministries. But also, pray for your own individual ministry, that God would give you those opportunities and you take those opportunities to share Christ with others. I want to tell you a story about a guy named Lee. Lee's a man who lives in the Midwest. And Lee began just to pray for God to give him opportunities to share Christ where he was, and specifically at a particular bagel and coffee shop that he went several times each week. And so he just started praying. He just prayed that God would open up conversations and that he'd walk through those doors and share the gospel with people. And he said, as I began to pray, God began to open my eyes and he began to have opportunities. He talked about one woman, a Jewish woman named Barb, that he got to know there in that coffee shop. And as she talked to him, she said, I grew up in a Jewish background, but she said, I'd really describe myself more as a seeker. And so just through conversation, Lee began to talk to her and share with her who Jesus is and what her need was for Jesus Christ. And she listened and she was very interested and very engaged. And then one day in their conversation, he said, you know, Barb, eventually you're going to have to make a choice. You can't just stay neutral about Jesus Christ forever. And he said, when he said that, she just became very agitated. She got really nervous. She just gathered her stuff up and ran out. And when she left the coffee shop, at first Lee began just to sort of look back over his conversation and say, well, did I say something in the wrong way? And he realized he didn't. But there's an offense of the gospel, no matter how we share it. By the way, you know that's true. There's always an offense in the gospel. Now, we're not called to be offensive, but there's a built-in offense with the gospel. Still, God gave him an open door. Then he told about a story about a man named Dimitri who came in one day, had a big backpack full of books, and he unloaded all those books, had them on top of the table there at the coffee shop. And Lee started talking to Dimitri and found out a little bit about who Dimitri was, that he was a waiter at a local restaurant. And as they talked, Dimitri had great openness to the gospel, so much that when Lee invited him to come to church, Dimitri said, well, I'll be glad to come. He said he came, and on that day, an evangelist got up, presented the gospel, asked people to raise their hand if they had interest in learning more about Jesus. He said Dimitri raised his hand. He said he didn't get saved that day, But in the days to come, he trusted Jesus as Savior. What happened? He prayed for open doors, and God opened doors. Listen, God will work in the lives of the people around you as you simply begin to pray in your workplace, in your community, in the places where you come and go, within your family, in your school. You pray for open doors. You have your eyes open to what those doors are that God is opening before you. And God will use you. And so we see the means of opening the door. The third thing I want you to see in this text is the message that we take through the open door. The message that we take through the open door. Continue reading in verse 2 of the text. And there Paul says that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Now make no mistake about this. An open door is not simply an opportunity to begin a conversation. An open door is not simply an opportunity to begin a new relationship. See, a lot of times Christians seek to do what used to be called friendship evangelism. And we do the friendship part, but we never do the evangelism. And the result is we just have more friends who don't know Jesus, and then we're not talking to them about Christ. And so if you're going to become a friend of somebody and really be a friend of that person, you've got to look at that friendship as an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. And that's what Paul was praying for, that God would give us an open door for the word, an open door to speak, to declare the mystery of Christ. He's talking about the gospel, and he calls it the mystery of Christ. I love that. The word mystery here doesn't mean an unsolved mystery. I love mysteries. I love to read Sherlock Holmes mysteries. I think I've read every one of them. I've read a number of Agatha Christie mysteries. They're good as well. But you know, the mysteries I read are never unsolved mysteries. I want to read a mystery where they solve the mystery. That's what makes it fun. Well, here's the truth about this mystery. It's not an unsolved mystery. It's something that at one time had been hidden, but now was made open. And the mystery is this. Listen, here's the mystery. The mystery is that through Jesus Christ, every kind of person can come to God and be saved. Praise God. Jewish people who had the Word of God and the temple and the sacrifice and the law and all of those things, they could come to God through Jesus Christ and be saved. But the mystery was that even Gentiles, pagan people who didn't know the living God, who were far, far from God, they could come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And the mystery that we proclaim today is this: no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, no matter what you've thought in the past, no matter how you feel about yourself or what other people have said about you, you can come to God through Jesus Christ and be saved and forgiven and given new life in Him. Praise God, that mystery's been solved. And so the Bible says that He's looking for an open door to proclaim, to declare the mystery of Christ. That's the message we take through the open door. Just look for opportunities and pray for opportunities and walk through those doors with the message of the gospel. A guy named Tim Johnson was going through the Baltimore, Washington airport. And as he was going through, he got pulled out for a special security check. And so the TSA agents pulled him aside and they said, "Wait here, we're going to go through your luggage." And so a guy came up, and Tim's trying to help him, and the TSA agent says, "No, you need to step back, just let me do it." But he says he unzips his luggage, and he starts going through his luggage. He's looking at everything. Tim says, as this guy is doing it, he notices on his finger, the man is wearing a silver ring with a cross on it. And Tim just says to the man, "Hey, I like your ring." And this is the TSA agent. He's still going through all of Tim's stuff. He said, "Yeah, this ring shows that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." And then the TSA agent said, "You know, one of the things that we're concerned about in my job is dynamite." He said, "But, you know, the word dynamite comes from a Greek word that means power, and God has all the power in the universe. He's going through his love. He says, God has all the power in the universe, so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for our sin. I've trusted him as my Savior. He saved me by his power and given me his gift of eternal life. And I'm just trusting him day by day, and he takes care of me as I serve him and do whatever he calls me to do. By this time, he zips up Tim's bag, says, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Have a great trip, and moves on to the next guy. Now, Tim was already a believer. But God used that in his life to show him that a guy in 30 seconds doing security could share the gospel with somebody. And he also knew that wasn't the first time that man had done that. He knew how to say what he wanted to say. Now, I want to give you a caveat. I would not encourage you next time that you're in security to bring up dynamite to the TSA agent. They can talk about that, but you can't. But I would tell you this. You can find ways to talk to people about Jesus. And you can take the message of Jesus through those open doors. Now, this TSA story reminds me of another TSA story that I want to tell you. It'll take me about 3 extra minutes to tell it. Would anybody be willing to give me 3 extra minutes? 3, 6, 9, 12. I'm good. I can do it. Several years ago, I was serving as pastor of a church in Charlotte. I was co-pastor along with another man who had been there for many years. His name was Dr. Brown. And our lead decision counselor was a man named Jim, who was the head of the TSA agents. He was in charge of all the security at the Charlotte airport. He was in his early 60s, and one day he was out in his backyard working, and he died very suddenly. We did his funeral. I preached his funeral. Dr. Brown preached his funeral. And when we got there for the funeral, we looked out, and here in this section of the auditorium was just a sea of those bright blue TSA shirts. They had all come to honor this man who was their leader. Dr. Brown got up, and when he began to preach, he said, you know, for years, I came to Jim. And he said, I told him, Jim, I go through the airport, and I'm your pastor, and you know me. I want you to give me a free pass. He said, I want a free pass so that I can get through security. And then he said, he looked at all those TSA agents. He said, now you're all here, and you see me here, and you know who I am, and you know I'm the pastor of this church, and you know I'm not a risk. He said, I want a free pass. He said, I want you to give me a free pass. Next time I go through, I want you to let me through. But then he said, you know something, though? I know you tell me the same thing that Jim always told me, Pastor. There's no free pass. And he said, I want to tell you, look at those TSA agents. He said, I want to tell you what my friend would tell you today. There's no free pass. And the only way that you can go to heaven when you die is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what he did? He walked through an open door that God put in front of him. And for several months, every time I'd go to that airport, I'd walk through that open door because I'd see a TSA agent. I'd say, hey, do you know my friend Jim? And they'd know him. Many of them were there for the funeral. And I used that opportunity over and over again just to talk to those people about the gospel. The message of Jesus is the message we carry through the open door. Number four, I want you to see this with me. Think with me about the manner by which we take the message through the open door. The manner by which we take the message of Jesus through the open door. Notice what Paul says as we continue on. Paul says that I want an open door. I'm praying for an open door for the word. Pray that God would give us an open door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. He understood this message was risky, that this message was dangerous, but this message was urgent. He had to keep proclaiming it. Verse 4, that I may make it clear. Which is how I ought to speak. Paul said, I've got this message, and I want to make sure that when I take this message of Jesus through the open door, that I will make it clear. He didn't say, I want to make it clever. He didn't say, I want to make it cute. He didn't say, I want to make it complicated. Sometimes we do all those things. We try to make the gospel message too clever, or we try to make it too cute, or we try to make it too complicated. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon reminded us, he said, you know, Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He said, some preachers put the food up so high that the lambs and the sheep can't get it. They must read the text and think it says, feed my giraffes. That's not what Jesus said. The gospel is simple. Just make it clear. God loves you. Here's the clear, simple gospel. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin with his own blood, because you're a sinner and you can't do anything to take away your own sin. Jesus rose from the grave to give you his gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sin, a home with him in heaven. And he gives it to you when you simply ask him to. Because the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just that simple. And God will use you to walk through those open doors as you pray and as you're watching and as you're obedient. He'll use you to walk through those open doors to take people that clear message of the gospel. At the turn of the 20th century, Harry Houdini became famous as an escape artist. He could escape from straitjackets. They'd bind him up in straitjackets. He'd escape. They'd put him in multiple sets of handcuffs. He could escape. And he bragged that no jail cell could hold him. But I want to tell you about one cell that he could not escape from. They put him in the cell. They left him alone. He did what he always did. He pulled a piece of metal, thin metal, out of his belt, and he began to work the lock. He worked the lock, and he worked the lock, and he worked the lock. It would not unlock. He worked it longer and longer, did everything he knew how to do, and he had considerable skill. He could not unlock that lock. He worked for 2 hours on that lock and finally gave up and said, I need somebody to let me out. They came. They pulled the door open, and they let him out. The jail cell had never been locked. It had been open all the time. All he had to do was push it, and it was open. It was only locked in his mind. Jesus said, I have set before you an open door. The door to share the gospel with the people around us is not locked. It's opened. The door to reach this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not locked. It's open. The door to make a difference for Jesus all around the world through the gospel is not locked. It's open. Here's the question. Are you going to go through, and am I going to go through that open door? I want you to bow your heads as we pray together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Some of you are here today. In fact, I believe many, many, many people across this room, you're here and you know of someone in particular, maybe a family member, maybe a close friend, but there's someone in particular, and today you're praying for God to give you that open door, to open that person's heart so that you can share the gospel and so that person can get saved. In fact, I would just ask you, if there's somebody on your heart who you're praying for to be saved, you're praying for that open door that that person would be saved, would you just raise your hand, just right where you are, just raise your hand. Just hold them up just for a moment. I want to join with you and pray all across this room. Put your hands down. Some of you are coming before God right now and you're saying, Lord, I need you to put a name on my heart because I haven't been praying for someone like I should, praying for that open door. Father, we come before you today and we thank you that you are in control, that you know the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Lord, that you will open up opportunities for us to share Christ with others. Lord, right now we pray for those people by name. Just in our own hearts, we're whispering their name to you. And God, we ask for open doors. We ask, Lord, that you would open these people's hearts, that they'd come to know Jesus. Then, God, we pray also that you would give us obedient, bold spirits, that we would share the good news of Jesus and take his message through that open door when you give us opportunities. Lord, may we be looking and may we be obedient to take the message of Jesus through those open doors. And Father, we pray that this church would be an open door church. That we'd open the doors wide that people might come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and grow in their relationship with Christ. And that we would look for open doors in our city and our world to take the message of Jesus to Oklahoma City and far, far beyond. Lord, may we be an open door church. Lord Jesus, set before us those open doors and may we go through them. Then, Father, I pray for those in this room today who've never trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, open their heart. Do what I can't do. Lord, open the hearts of people who are here today who need to be saved, that right now they might call on Jesus and ask for his gift of salvation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I remind you of the simple gospel. If you've never been saved today, this message is for you. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. You need that forgiveness of sin because you can't make yourself right with God. But today, if you call on Jesus, he'll save you. And just right now, you can call on him and say, Jesus, save me, a sinner. Just pray a simple prayer like that. Dear Jesus, by the blood you shed on the cross, save me. I know I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I'll follow you. For I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Father in heaven, we thank you for this good day that you've given us. Now, God, I pray for those who need to come, some who need to come just here at the front and pray for those around them that they'd come to know Jesus, or pray for open doors at work or in the community. Lord, some who just prayed to receive Jesus and they need to come. But Lord, may people come. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.